Research into a deadly strain of bird flu at UW-Madison kicked off a fierce debate in the scientific community 8 years ago. Backers of the program said it could mean huge steps forward in our understanding of the way the influenza virus works and spreads. But opponents said it was too risky and could inadvertently start the outbreak it's looking to stop. Now, after some years of public meetings and risk-benefit analysis, that research has gotten the green light to continue. Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisContext. You can find his latest piece on this flu research. It's online over at wiscontext.org. Will, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about the actual research that's so controversial here. What are UW researchers trying to do?
They are looking at a strain of flu called H5N1. And what they did in 2011, several years ago, was they showed that in just four mutations, this strain of flu that normally affects birds, but can sometimes infect humans, they made it transmissible between ferrets, which is a common stand-in for human transmission in labs. So that raised some red flags among some people, some scientists and people in the public.
And let's remind people kind of my mission in life. When we say flu, when we say influenza, it's not stomach flu. It's this respiratory ailment of various degrees of severity.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's the influenza A. It's a strain of influenza A, which, is a respiratory illness. Which can sometimes make small children vomit. But no, it's very different from the stomach flu. And in particular, this one, it's an avian influenza. So as I mentioned, it's primarily affects birds. It's actually been a big problem in regions of Asia where a lot of poultry farms have dealt with it, a lot of dead chickens. And it can be deadly in humans as well, but it doesn't. It's not transmissible really between humans.
Right. There's a good news, bad news when it comes to this H5N1. It sounds like bad news, it is lethal. Like if we get it, it's really, really dangerous. But as you say, it's not something that at the current time tends to spread to humans often or among humans very often.
Exactly. The people who tend to come down with it are people who have close contact with birds, often people who work on poultry farms. It's lethal up to 60% of the time. So that's a lot higher than your run-of-the-mill influenza that's going around every year, which is still packs a punch often.
Before we get into concerns about the research going on here in Wisconsin, it seems clear what the goals would be. We want, an early warning system? We want to figure out what it would take to have this lethal form of flu become pandemic among humans.
Exactly. What Dr. Kowoka showed in 2011 was that in just a few genetic mutations, this type of influenza, the H5N1, that is not normally transmissible among mammals, became transmissible among mammals. And that's something that could happen in the wild as well. Influenza is a quickly evolving virus. And so it can pick up genetic mutations quite readily. And so, they're looking to provide some sort of early warning detection system and also to try to figure out new vaccines, antivirals, treatments for H5N1.
Now, this is something that could mutate in the wild on its own. But what's going on in this research is they are, in effect, forcing it. They're making it mutate to see how few steps it would take to get there. That's where this starts to get a little controversial, right?
Exactly. And it was a subject of fierce debate when this was first announced in 2011. Should say that there is also a group in the Netherlands who did very similar work right at the same time. Both Dr. Kowoka's paper and the group in the Netherlands, their paper, they actually delayed the publication of their papers because there was concern that if they described the process for making this deadly form of flu transmissible among mammals, maybe it could be used by bad actors to develop some sort of bioweapon. But that they did publish the paper, that hasn't happened. But there are still a lot of concerns among some scientists that making a deadly form of flu transmissible among mammals is not really the way to go about trying to protect against the next flu pandemic.
We're talking to Will Cushman from WisContext about research going on here in Wisconsin and elsewhere looking at very deadly strains of influenza, modifying them to see what it would take to make them transmissible among humans. Well, let's talk more about the concerns here. Sometimes when there's a scientists are doing a thing and people are worried, it's the lay people. Maybe they understand, maybe they don't know what's going on. This is coming from within the similar research community as the people doing the research, right?
Right, yeah. These are other infectious disease researchers who are raising this concern. I spoke to Mark Lipsitch. He's the director of the Center for Communicable Disease Research at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And he's been a longtime critic of this line of research. His contention is that if there were to be some sort of unfortunate lab accident where maybe a lab worker became infected with this H5N1 flu that could transmit between mammals, that could lead to a health crisis or potentially a global pandemic, the precise thing that these researchers are really attempting to keep at bay.
And in this period since 2011, when this development was announced, there have been questions over federal funding, right, for this kind of research. What has happened over that time?
Right, yeah. So in 2014, there were a series of lab accidents at federal research facilities at the CDC involving deadly pathogens. I should stress that none of this was involving Dr. Kuoka's research, but it raised concerns about the type of research that Dr. Kuoka does in that a deadly, dangerous pathogen, if there were an accident, as I said before, at a lab that studies it and it gets out, it could potentially cause a lot of problems. So the federal government, seeing that there is maybe some more oversight that needed to happen, placed a moratorium on research like Dr. Kuoka's beginning in 2014, which they lifted at the end of 2017 after a three-year, fairly public, lengthy deliberative process assessing the risks and benefits of the research and really making sure that the safety protocols that are in place are effective.
And you talked to spokespeople for the project about that issue, what kind of security and safety are in place. What did they say?
Right. So the lab where this work is set to resume is in Madison's University Research Park. It's it's in a facility that's rated, it's a biosafety level 3 agriculture, which is one half step below the kind of like highest safety biosafety rating that the CDC has for labs. So it's got some really stringent security measures. There are a lot of alarms. People who work there have to pass an FBI background check, and they have to use protective equipment. And also there's like the local fire departments have been instructed that if there's a fire at this research facility to just let it burn. And if someone has a medical emergency while they're working at the lab, they have to be decontaminated by a qualified lab staff member before they can receive emergency treatment. So it's pretty intense.
And one of the critics you mentioned earlier also raised concerns about the transparency over the approval process to get, I think it was the federal funding in this case. Can you talk about that?
Right. Yeah. Dr. Lipsitch at Harvard said that from his perspective, the review by the Department of Health and Human Services, which includes NIH, which is funding this research through one of its institutes, he said that from his perspective, it lacked quite a bit of transparency. He said that it was less transparent than a normal grant review. He pointed to the fact that the folks who were reviewing this proposal were not named, which he told me is kind of standard operating procedure for such a grant review. And when I spoke to representatives at the Department of Health and Human Services, they told me that because the people who reviewed this research in advance of greenlighting it were federal employees, that there is no risk of any types of conflicts of interest or anything like that. But they they declined to tell me who the reviewers were.
So there's been this back and forth over funding and the review procedure. What's happening now? Is the research just going on as it had been originally?
Well, I'm not sure if it's started yet. I know as of early February, when Science Magazine first broke the story that this research got green-lighted again, at that time they said that it could be starting in the next few weeks. So it very well could be starting right now. I know that Dr. Kowoka is currently out of the country, but or at least he was earlier this week. I'm not sure about now or when exactly it'll get started, but we're expecting it to start soon, if not now.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Will Cushman, associate editor of WisContext. He was with us to talk about controversial research on a deadly strain of bird flu that's resuming at UW-Madison. You could read Will's coverage on that over at wiscontext.org.